You're listening to Alien X Radio, and this is your afternoon interview. All right, welcome back. You are inside the mothership with Alien Stone, and online right now I've got my guest. He is a musician and an actor. You might know him from one of his most famous roles as the very first Jason from Friday the 13th, the original, Mr. Ari Lehman. Sir, how are you doing today?
Alien Stone, things are great here at Camp Crystal Lake. And that's right, I am the first Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. And just to remind you, your listeners, that's the little boy who jumps up out of the water, covered with, you know, pond muck, in revenge for his mother's decapitation at the end of the first Friday the 13th. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, actually. I actually am. I went and worked a job today earlier in the morning, and I got all my work done and came home. I was home by noon. It was awesome.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when was the last time you saw Friday the 13th?
Probably within the last year.
That's good.
Absolutely. In fact, within the last year, I interviewed Adrian King on my show.
Oh, Adrian King is a sweetheart. And Adrian King and Betsy Palmer, the great actresses, are the ones who really carried Friday the 13th, without a doubt. You know, you got to imagine that for someone who was in a film that was filmed in 1979 and released in 1980, it's very gratifying because people still watch this movie every year. It's just a very wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's never going to go away, ever.
Well, you know, 2014, it looks like there'll be a new installation. It'll be the 13th, Friday the 13th. And I remember long ago when Sean S. Cunningham, the great director, said to me, you know, we're hoping to do 13 of these movies. And he laughed, and we all laughed heartily. But hey, you know what? It wasn't the same production company that did all of them, but it looks like it's coming back. In fact, Warner Brothers just traded Friday the 13th and South Park back to Paramount Pictures in return for one of their kind of more, I don't know, recent blockbusters. I can't remember the name, but hey, so we're back in the hands of Paramount Pictures, who made the first Friday the 13th, which gives me hope that there'll be some references to Betsy Palmer's character or Pamela Voorhees, my mom, and I hope that we'll go back to some of that storyline.
Absolutely. That would be, like you said, putting in the hands of the original people. I mean, that's got to be the key and the secret in that, of getting the true script out and a true, paying respect to the original movie. The only people that will really fully do that is the original people.
Certainly they'll have it more in mind, I think, you know, coming back home to Paramount, I'm hoping, and you know, but no matter what, like you say, you know, it's a wonderful mythos that just keeps on going. It's a great, you know, it's not, you know, fine, you know, great American film, but it's what you might say is a fun romp in the woods. It's a great summertime movie. It's just a great movie to watch with friends, you know, people, you know, Halloween, you know, it's just a fun thing to get together and watch Friday the 13th, and now people watch them in succession. And you know, the character Jason Voorhees certainly captured the imagination of people worldwide as a classic horror monster, right up there in the pantheon with the greats. You know,
absolutely. I believe that Friday the 13th and Jason Voorhees set the bar for all the slasher movies that followed, of course.
Yeah, well, I agree. The slasher genre, definitely kind of starts there. I mean, Michael Myers being just prior to it. A little interesting piece of trivia there is that, you know, the original Friday the 13th was going to end wherein little Jason, the character I played, had drowned, and the whole thing was going to basically end with his mom's demise and the police coming up and bringing Alice to the hospital, played by Adrian King. Now, but it was because of Halloween that Friday the 13th got its start. And it was because then Sean S. Cunningham, an open-minded creative director, saw Carrie, that he decided, you know what, I want a surprise ending like Carrie. But we had already wrapped the movie in August, and now it was October, and he was like, I want to do a surprise ending. And so we went back up to New Jersey into the lake and filmed the famous surprise ending. And, you know, I really do think it was important. As a little kid, they handed me the script, and it said that it was a dream sequence. And that got me a little angry. So I went in there, I said, it's not a dream sequence, because, you know, as a little boy, I read those comic books like Swamp Thing and Aquaman. And, you know, I could believe that, you know, it was one of those classic transformations. The child somehow lives underwater for 12 years and is transformed when the mother's blood, say, hits the water of Crystal Lake, and he transforms. And in my mind, that's what really happened. So Tom Savini, the great makeup and acting star of the horror world, said to me, hey, you know what? That's how you should think of it, because it's your conviction. And if you were a ghost, you would have a conviction. If it was a dream, you know, so play it that way, and the rest is history.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if it was, like I said, if you played it as if it was a dream, I don't think that it would have that same oomph. You know what I'm saying? Like you felt it a little bit more. You know,
wouldn't have the same impact. No way. I mean, but see, in the end, I guess I was right, because the character of Jason is seen as real, unless we're still in 13 movies of Alice's dream, which I don't think is the case. I think that, you know, Jason has now gone to New York. He's gone to outer space.
Yeah.
He's fought with Freddy, you know, in the dream world and out. So in the long run, I think that I was right. The kid transformed, and, you know, it's kind of like what do you call a vengeance ghost,
which
is a common theme in, like, especially a lot of Asian horror, you know. Somebody who's not supposed to be there anymore is all of a sudden there wreaking vengeance, you know, for some reason that seems to make sense. That's another unique aspect, I think, about Friday the 13th and Jason, is that he's not really a evil, scheming character. He's kind of like a child trapped in this monstrous, indestructible slasher's body that just is an insatiable killer. And in essence, you know, it's this revenge, vengeance gone horribly wrong, you know, as opposed to like an evil schemer, like a Nosferatu or Dracula on that side.
Right. It's like you said, it's a child that's in this big body. So it'd be the same thing that if you took a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, 7-year-old or whatever, and you scorned them or put a great, you know, distress upon them by killing their mother or whatever, and then suddenly make them 7 feet tall and give them a machete. Yeah, they're going to go crazy. They're going to chop you up.
That's Alien Stone, that's a perfect example, because you really get into the feeling of it there. And I think that the emotion that's there, you know, with the mom and the whole injustice, and as you're saying, it's that adds so much to the story. And I think the wordless aspect of it, you know, we just feel for Jason, even though he's doing wrong. Let's face it. I mean, the equation is he's an insatiable killer, so that's wrong. But yet we feel differently about him. You know, we don't see him necessarily as depraved, but we'd like to, you know, like Sean said, that we want to be both sympathetic, but then repelled at the same time. You wanted to create that dichotomous feeling, just like when little Jason is drowning. The first time we did it, he said, nope, it's too much sympathy and not enough revulsion. So he had Sean do it again. He had Tom Savini and his assistant Tassos Stavrakos, they recreated it, and we did it all again with a more hideous little Jason. But again, we had to kind of, you know, keep it borderline because he wasn't supposed to be a monster. So it was very, you know, it was cool. But like I say, you know, it's not, it wasn't, you know, Shakespeare or some, you know, high drama. And the only thing that did bring any of that aspect, and I think the thing that kicked it up a notch for everybody, was Betsy Palmer coming to the set and just bringing her A game. And I think that you could never say enough about that. And then Harry Manfredini, for instance, the soundtrack, the music, which is so unique, you know, I mean, wow. You know, you can't really... Everybody says, okay, Friday the 13th, what's the sound? It's like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Okay.
Yep.
You know, I mean, what was that? Just that, the idea. And, well, here's the insight about that. Harry Manfredini, who's, well, I call the maestro, just the greatest. I mean, what a genius. But he had just gotten a new, now it was 1979, he got a new digital delay unit. You know, prior to that, they had been using tape delay. And this was the first, like, digital delay. I mean, and he said it was like the size of a tabletop.
Right.
And it was huge. And it had, like, three settings. But he was so excited. It came in this huge box. And he said, oh, my gosh, I've got to use it for something. And he had been listening to the music of Krzysztof Penderecki, because he's very into modern European abstract, Eastern European abstract composers. And this Penderecki you can hear in 2001, A Space Odyssey, when all of they're on the moon and the obelisk is there and all the ape-like creatures are going towards the obelisk and there's this very eerie, haunting music, and that's Penderecki. And you'll hear the children there are just using syllables. They're not, it's a choir of children and they're all singing just syllables, no language. And this inspired Harry to just use the beginning of the word kill and the beginning of the word mom. So he's just saying, k-ma. Hmm. That's all he said. K-ma. And it became, ch-ch-ch-ma. So this
awesome.
Famous sound that just somehow captured people's fears and just, it's just that. But, you know, he did write a soundtrack. Outside of that, I mean, if you listen to the opening credits and the opening scene, it's a very compelling soundtrack, but it's not exactly one that you could sing like The Exodus or Halloween. Right? But I think he was purposely trying to go against that and go back to kind of like the abstract music they use in horror like they did in Hammer Horror or other classic horror.
Well, I think he didn't want you to necessarily, when you're watching the movie, listen to the music. He wanted you to be infused with the emotion that the music would stir up.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So
his songs, I mean, he writes some very scary music.
Oh, sure. It's just like you said, the ma. That puts Jason in the scene if even he's not there.
It's true.
That brings him into, that brings the danger into the scene. Just like when you're watching Jaws, there's no shark around, but you hear that dun, the shark is there and you're afraid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was an awesome soundtrack.
That's a great example. That's a great example, Alien Stone, because Jaws was just prior to Friday the 13th in, like, 76, I believe. And so we always felt like we always kid around, you know, Jason coming up out of the water, that was like Jaws in the woods, you know. And it was definitely Jaws that brought back that silent monster killer. You know, prior to that, I think a lot of the 70s films, you know, we had The Exorcist, we had Rosemary's Baby, we had The Omen, we had Damien, we had those kind of female-driven, you know, Carrie, you know, that kind of very psychological stuff. And then all of a sudden there was Jaws, and we're like, yeah, monster, baby. And then I really do think that Michael and Jason come out of that. And you know, just that whole, let's get a monster back. And yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is, just like in Jaws, where we know the killer is present because of the, you know, that only happens when you know he's there, you know, which is great. Kind of like Star Wars did that too. But, you know, in Friday the 13th, the only time, except for in the credits, that there is a soundtrack is when the killer is present, except for when there's background sound. But beside that, this is something Harry pointed out to me. The only time that there's actual soundtrack, except for the credits, is when the killer is present. So it also is another thing. Another cool thing about the music is that the final song, we think it's all over, and it's the sunshine, and the police are coming, and she's in the boat, trailing her hand in the water, and the violins are playing, and then wham, this slimy cake comes out of the water, right? Okay, the song playing there is called Sail Away Little Bird, or Sparrow. And Harry Manfredini did a country version of that, and in a scene just prior to the ending, they're in this little diner in Crystal Lake, and there's a radio playing the country version of that song with Harry Manfredini singing.
Nice. Nice.
Well, hey, we can talk about music now, man. That's a good, transition over to music.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. As I had pointed out at the beginning of this, that you're in a band called The First Jason. Well, that's a
First
pretty...
Jason, just straight up First Jason.
Oh, we dropped the "the." There's no "the."
There's no "the." First Jason, and yeah, First Jason is a punk metal horror comedy duo in which I play the world's only heavy metal guitar that's on a 6-foot machete with a Jason mask, LED Jason mask in the blade. I mean, go over to firstjason.com. You're going to see me right there. There's a video of us playing at the Viper Room in Los Angeles. We've also played at the Whiskey A Go-Go. We've played at Lucky 13's in New York City, the Double Wide in Dallas. We've played in Germany, Holland, Spain, France. We're mainly, you'll find us performing at punk metal venues all over the country. We just played in Louisville. We're on our way to Pensacola next weekend. Then we go to Texarkana. We play all over the country. We'll be at the Housecore Horror Film Festival in Austin, Texas. Now, that's October 24th to 28th. That's going to be with Phil Anselmo's Down and Phil Anselmo and the Illegals. Of course, he was the singer from Pantera.
Yeah.
And we'll be... there's a lot of great bands there, like Gwar and Goblin, who did all the music for Dario Argento, and Goat Whore, and a lot of films will be there. A lot of great bands are going to be there, so we're psyched about that.
Also, I want to point out too that you've been kind of a regular lately at the Motor City Nightmares here in Detroit.
I didn't realize you were in Detroit. Well,
yeah.
Yes.
And,
we just played there the last time. We had a great time playing there. That's a great place. And we also played recently down there in, I think it's Riverview, not too long ago. We played there. And, we like to come out and play in Detroit. We'll also be at the Kalamazoo, Michigan Horror Fest, the Kalamazoo Horror Fest. We're playing out there. Now that's coming up September. No, that's coming up this month. That's August 20th. No, that's September 20th. That's September 20th. Oh, well, anyway, look up Kalamazoo Horror Fest. We're going to be there. My calendar is getting so booked up, but I'll tell you, we're really happy. We got, Halloween. We're going to be all over the place. We'll be in Nevada. We'll be in Albany, New York. But the easiest way to find out where we'll be is just check out firstjason.com. We have the first record we put out. It's called Jason is Watching. And we're just about to release a new record. We're going to actually release it in time for Halloween 2013. And that album is First Jason, Heed My Warning. So even though there's no Friday the 13th in 2013, there's going to be a First Jason album. And we'll have a movie next year.
Nice. Which brings me to the fact that if they're going to do 13, why didn't they come out in 2013 with that?
Man, I tell you, even back then, Sean Cunningham said, yeah, we're going to do it in 2013. And you know what? If we really want to look at that, I think that they had planned to do that because the last one, of course, they released with the great new Jason Voorhees, Derek Mears, the gentle giant, who is an amazing Jason Voorhees actor and just an amazing person. However, they didn't see eye to eye. They didn't get a script that everybody liked. And, you know, by the time the entire thing saw it out, 2013 wasn't going to be the year. And, you know, in a way, it's not a bad thing, because it's my feeling that now that it's away from certain, you know, production teams, that perhaps this time Sean Cunningham will have a chance to have a little more of an effect, of a direct effect on this production. I'm hoping, because, you know, in retrospect, if we really look at it, it's the sense of restraint, I think, that Sean had that made Friday the 13th just so brutal, in the sense that it wasn't over the top, and he always counseled his actors to, you know, to just play it and keep it real, you know, which nobody even said that in 1979, keep it real. He was talking about keeping it real, so.
Right. You know. He invented it.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I'm hoping that it's gonna fly, man. Who knows? But I do want people to come and check out First Jason. And, you know, Inside the Mothership is where we are right now with Alien Stone. But if you come to a First Jason show and you mention Inside the Mothership, well, you're going to get a free First Jason CD with an autograph.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have other stuff at First Jason shows, too. I don't know if you know about this, but we have our own hot sauce.
Nice.
It's called Slasher Sauce, okay? It's a ghost pepper sauce.
Ouch. You know,
keeping in the horror thing, but it's as tasty as it is hot. It's got ghost peppers, red habanero, garlic, mustard, cumin, turmeric, onion. It's delicious. And it's people love it. It's been fly. I sold 2 cases last weekend at this one event, and it's just people love it. So 13% of the net profits go to Scares That Care, which is a charity for kids that one of our other Jason actors named Kane Hodder, who you must have heard of.
Sure.
He's a big proponent of Scares That Care. So he, you know, he called me up and kicked my butt and told me to get to do something. So anyway, we got this hot sauce, and that's another thing. But I can't give out free bottles of hot dogs, but I will.
Right.
If you mention Inside the Mothership at a First Jason concert, you can get a free CD or a free photo or something good like that.
Well, I'm going to be sending a lot of people then to the September 20th Kalamazoo Horror Fest to do just that.
Yeah, there you go.
For sure. Now are you currently booked for Motor City Nightmares 2014?
I think they mentioned that, because when we were playing over in Riverview, the gentleman that runs Detroit Motor City came out, and because I said, come on out and set up a table, and he sure did, and we were sitting right there. So, yeah, I'd love to be there. And, you know, even if not, we're booking all kinds of venues. We're going to be booking all over Detroit. We just got some new hookups for Ohio and Pennsylvania, towns like Columbus and Pittsburgh. And, yeah, we're definitely going to bring it back to the Detroit area soon. We also played at, there's the Floyd, right? No, not what am I talking about. What is the town north of Detroit? Flint.
Yes.
Flint HorrorCon. There's also the Flint HorrorCon for people out there in that region. They should check out. So you got Motor City Nightmares, which is super awesome. And, you know, a little more family-sized is Flint HorrorCon. So depending on where you're at, you know. And then Kalamazoo Horror Fest. We support all of them. Kalamazoo's going to have Danny Glover over there this year, so that's pretty big. And Sid Haig, which is pretty wild. You know what? While we're standing here, I want to look up the date on that, because I might have told you. Did you look up the date?
No, I haven't pulled up the internet. It makes a lot of noise and stuff when I'm trying to record.
Wait, let me just confirm that. I don't know.
Sure.
You know, we want to make sure about these things. We love these things. But you know what's going on, which is a great thing, is that we're just getting booked all the time. And it's just wild. And it is September 20th.
Awesome.
Yes, indeed. So that's September 20th to 22nd, Kalamazoo Horror Fest, where we've got...
So you're there all 3 days.
Freaks and Geeks. We've got Alex Vincent from Child's Play, you know, with Chucky there.
Mm-hmm.
The great John Dugan from... he was Grandpa in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They've got Sid Haig, Captain Spaulding from the Rob Zombie films.
Sure.
Wow. They got Dick Warlock, who played Michael Myers. Sonya Thompson from Walking Dead.
Nice.
You know, Bob Elmore, one of the great Leatherface actors from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Camden Toy, who has played just about every wild monster that you can think of. Mike Holman from Jackass. I mean, it's just going to be something else. So yeah, that's a good one.
That is awesome.
That is a great one. So we're all stoked about that. And yeah, I mean, next year's Motor City Nightmares, we're all over it. We'll try to make sure that we're a part of it.
Now, I want to hit everything that's on this list real quick. It's you're an artist as well, correct?
No. I don't really do artwork, if that's what you're asking.
Somebody told me that you did artwork.
No, my artwork for my album was done by Scott Jackson at Monster Man Graphics, if that's what people are talking about. You know, I mean, maybe they're just saying, you know, he's an artist in that sort of, you know, philosophical way, because,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like, I have a big mustache. But, no, I love it when people can paint. They just look at something and they can draw it or paint it. That's very impressive to me. I'm one of those people who has the ability to, you know, play music for tons of people they never met before and just have a blast. And I got to say that I'm really grateful and in debt to all the fans who gave me some time to develop this metal, punk metal sound that First Jason has, and to really, with open arms, you know, bring us into that punk metal scene. And I'm trying to return that favor by, you know, working together with other bands and bringing people together. And, you know, we've had the honor of opening for bands like Wednesday 13 and Chimera and Geary Vaughn and Michael Graves and, you know, Macabre, some of the biggest acts out there. And we're Mushroom Head, and, you know, we're just very, very happy to have been able to do that. And and also just for the fans for giving us the time to grow and get our sound together, quite frankly. And now we're a duo where I'm playing that guitar and singing, and there's a drummer who plays, you know, double bass drum metal style, and that's it. So we're a duo, and it's kind of about the pyrotechnics of the guitar. I do a lot of kind of, I don't know, you might say flashy instrumental improvisation, and, you know, in the middle of the show, we do the Bach toccata as a showstopper, you know, like from Phantom of the Opera, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, we're just really happy with the way things are going.
Well, I like to give my listeners a little reference here. So I happen to have a couple of your songs queued up here. I'm going to play one of them right now and let them check that out, and then I'm going to come back and ask you a little bit more about that. Sound good?
Excellent.
All right. Well,
excellent.
This one is called... Hey. Jason never dies.
Jason never dies.
He never dies. He does, but then he comes back. But here it is, Jason Never Dies by First Jason Inside the Mothership.
I'm telling you, I never bomb, but I didn't die then. Come with a bomb, but I didn't die then. Come with a bomb, but I didn't die then. Jason's life, they can never end. You can use a chainsaw or a shotgun. You can be a samurai or an alien. You can carry weapons of mass destruction. Still you realize you can't kill Jason. Jason never dies. Jason never dies. Get out of my way, I'm coming through. There is hellfire in my eyes. Love and whiskey on my breath. Don't care what they say, I'm telling you. I never listen to their lies. And I am not afraid of death. Can you hear me growl? I'm on the prowl. I'm in the need of something foul. Deep inside I start to howl. See the fuck out there, best to beware. For I can kill without a care. And I will take you unaware.
I come with a sword, but I didn't die then. Come with a gun, but I didn't die then. Come with a bomb, but I didn't die then. Jason's life, they can never end. Bring out the army, navy, and marine. I will wage a battle like the world has never seen. Fire at will, every weapon of war. Jason will be asking for more.
Jason never dies. Jason never dies.
Is rocking out as Jason never dies.
Seriously. Jason never dies.
He doesn't.
Right.
He will live forever.
Well, you know, I mean, he's eternal. He just comes back. You know, when you see the white mask of Jason and the machete flash in the woods, it's all over. There's not. You can't reason with Jason. Jason Voorhees, what are you going to say? I mean, what? How could. It's just all over.
You try
to run, and it doesn't really work.
Yeah, the only time that you can reason with Jason is if you put on his mother's sweater. That's been proven.
Oh, whoa. See, you might have survived.
Yeah.
You might have survived.
All you got to do is...
Then he'd walk around protecting your life eternally. You'd have a friend for life, you know?
Yep. Say, oh, I brought my muscle with me. Who's your muscle? This guy. And cut you up.
We like that show Grape Ape with the little kid who had like this huge ape following him around.
Yeah, he rode on top of the van.
Like Grape Ape.
Yeah, he was cool. He was cool.
Yeah, it's just my bunny. You can't sit in the building. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like that. You know, I walk around the world because I'm not very tall. I mean, you know, I'm the average height sort of person. I mean, I'm fit, but I'm not, you know, not like people... You know, cross to the other side, you know, of the sidewalk when they see me coming, you know, but within, you know, I'm channeling the inner Jason for us all, you know, for you know, for everyone.
Yeah. Actually, something just popped into my head, a good question for you. Obviously, you played Jason when he was a kid, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, in Jason Takes Manhattan, there was a scene where the toxic waste in the sewers rushed all over Jason, and when it drained away, he was a child again.
That's right.
Now, when you saw that, did you like go, wait a minute, you know, that's not me?
No, it was a wonderful interpretation of the character, I think. I'm trying to remember the actor. I think I met him one time. I know I met the actor. They had also a portrayal of little Jason in Freddy versus Jason. Where he's kind of like, they're making fun of him, and he's all, you know, he's crying, like, on the raft there, you know. Basically, I thought, I'm glad I didn't have to play that, Jason.
Yeah. And when it comes again,
you know, if you're a real actor, you know, you have to be, like, ready to play anything.
Sure.
you know, I don't know. I think I'm more of a musician than an actor, because I've seen actors do things that I'm like, no way could you get me to do that. It's just, I don't know.
We all have our boundaries.
You know, I mean, I'm good with a guitar, man. But I have been cast in some recent independent films, and I'm giving my best effort. I just was on the set of Easter Sunday in the Virginia, near Washington, D.C., actually. And I guess it was Frankfurt area. And we were working with the great Robert Zidar, who was in Maniac Cop, among many other great films. And he just, another person who just brought his A game. You know, I was just very sincerely impressed with his performance. And he also did play a detective, a badass detective again. You know, I guess he's just good at that. But he, you know, it was really great. So I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Maniac Cop and Robert Zidar, but you know, he just kind of blew me away on the set. I was really impressed. I play the postman on that film. Also, I'm going to be in a film called Candyland. That's from the Cleveland area. That's going to have a premiere September 5th. And then I'm in another movie that's shooting here called Sister of the Wolf. And these are all good quality independent productions that I think will be fun for viewers. I'm really trying to be a little more, you know, just being very select to do, because a lot of times I have dear friends and, sometimes they're just enthusiastic to make films, and I got to remember to be selective sometimes.
Yeah, I do understand that. It looks like, too, you have a knack for getting into movies that are date specific. Like, you got Friday the 13th, you got Easter Sunday, yep. And then you got Thanksgiving. Yep.
That's right, Thanksgiving. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. If anybody can find that one, but it's true. But you know, I do think, on a positive note, I think that a lot of good things are happening and a lot of progress is coming in the genre, because now there's access to very good quality cameras. The footage that I saw from Candyland, which is two words, the first word spelled with a K, K-A-N-D-I-E, land, but they, it just looks spectacular, you know, for an independent film. And I'm just so used to seeing the independent films, you know, the quality of the footage just doesn't hold up. It's not high def, but now they're shooting in high def a lot more regularly, and they're learning how to edit better as time passes. And I just think, you know, people are just getting into some great stuff. I think there's been some good things. I think Lords of Salem from Rob Zombie, which came out this year, you know, which is really his, you know, dream creation. And I think that was very impressive, and it didn't have to go. I mean, and it was a very female empowering film, if you will. And, you know, I don't think that these films have to be about, you know, the classic violence against women kind of thing, which I just think, you know, come on, let's go towards some other kind of thing. That's why I like, for instance, The Orphan or The Woman in Black from Hammer Films, or Hard Candy, in which a little girl brings an internet predator to his demise. And, you know, I like it when those tables are turned. And to me, that's more exciting. I don't know. But I'm not your average horror film watcher. But I do think there's some good things coming up. This film coming from Eli Ross, which takes place in Peru. And it's kind of a celebration of my personal friend, from Italy, who made the movie Cannibal Holocaust, and that's Ruggero Deodato, who I've gotten to work with many times, and I actually got to hand him an award I worked at his award ceremony handing out awards. But anyway, that looks really great, this new Eli Roth movie. I'm not sure what the name is, but it looks really good. So I got a lot of hope for horror right now.
I always have hope for horror. I always do.
It's
the greatest. It really is the greatest. So, just to reiterate to my listeners, make sure you check out First Jason. They will be at the Kalamazoo Horror Fest September 20th, the weekend of September 20th. And in October, the weekend of the 19th, they'll be at the Flint Horror Con. So definitely go and check them out.
I don't know if we'll be there yet. I'm just trying to hit people to what's going on.
Ooh.
And that's a little down the line. We haven't, but that's a good event. No, actually, we're going to be somewhere else. October, we're completely booked up.
Okay, but
we're not going to be in Portland. But
September, you are in Kalamazoo.
We are going to be in Kalamazoo on September 20th. And they're going to have a Friday night party, which is going to be awesome. Their Friday night VIP parties are always incredible. And we're going to play a short set at that Friday night party. So people should definitely call in and send messages to the Kalamazoo Horror Fest. Tell them they're going to be there to see First Jason on Friday. Just, you know. But also they got Danny Glover is going to be there. And the next night, the next day, we'll still be at the Kalamazoo Horror Fest. Then we're journeying on down to Indianapolis. We're going to be part of the Indianapolis Metal Fest. So I don't know if you have any listeners down in Indianapolis, but we'll be in the Indianapolis Metal Fest with Archon and a lot of great bands. And that's on the 21st at night. So we're just in a van a large percent of the time. But you know what? It means the world to us because we know what's going on. You know what? People work hard. They work 40-hour, 50-something-hour work weeks. And, you know, it's up to us to kind of take them out of that world and bring them to Camp Crystal Lake with us and just jump in the river. I mean, jump in the lake. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's our goal, to just bring everybody to just bring fun to towns, and we're having a lot of fun doing it, and I just hope to see everybody, and remember to mention Inside the Mothership so I can give you a free CD or a free autograph, Jason photo, or something good like that.
Yeah, I'm telling everybody that. I'm putting it on my website.
For real.
For real.
You know, Jason never dies, and Jason never lies.
Oh, I like that. When he tells you he's going to kill you, it's for real. Well, sir,
just moving forward, man. I mean, I've things are good. Things are really good. You know, I guess this is like week 13 without a drop of beer, wine, sangria, whiskey, nothing. I've gone completely outside that, just so I found that helps us stay on the road and, you know, just wake up in the morning better.
Well, nice. That's a big accomplishment.
Thank you.
That is, because a lot of people can't give up things that they like, you know?
Well, you know, I say more power to everybody, and I was certainly one who enjoyed as much as anyone. But, you know, just the task of being, like, where I work is where they serve drinks, and everybody works all week, and they're there to party and have a good time. So I just said I'll eliminate that part so it's easier for me to show up and bring my A game. And then I don't care about all those delicious, wonderful things. And, you know, that's fine. I still say, wow, you know, I'm not I'm not against it. But for me, this is just the thing that works better, and I'm just dedicated to that. And, you know, I just want to reach out to everybody and say, come on out and support and feel the music and heed the power of the electric machete.
The power. Well, sir, I thank you very much. This has been an awesome conversation. I thank you for joining me inside the mothership here. So on behalf of myself and my producer, Michael Klinkenbeard, I thank you very much.
Thank you, Alien Stone.
Awesome. You have a fantastic day, sir, and I appreciate it.
You too, brother. All right. Take care now.
Stay scary and in everybody's nightmares.
Right on, brother. Keep it brutal.
Peace.